विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य दिशुतारिणे श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 28। हरे कृष्णा। इट्स ऑलवेज वेरी एनलाइवनिंग टू कम टू न्यू द्वारका धाम। चलिए, इट्स one of the most important place of pilgrimage for the devotees of ISKCON, because Srila Prabhupada spent a lot of time here, spent a lot of time translating and helping this movement to grow. In those days it was, in a way, Prabhupada's headquarters in the United States. And yeah, I feel privileged to be here and have the association of so many wonderful devotees, especially so many senior devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, my god brothers. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Atho dichim दिशं यातु स्वैर अज्ञात गतिर भवान इतोर्वाक प्रायसह कालह पुंशाम गुण विकर्षणः। अथो दीचिम दिशं जातु स्वैर अज्ञात गतिर भवान इतोर वाक प्रायसो कालह पुंसाम गुण विकर्षणः। अथो दीचिम दिशं जातु स्वैर अज्ञात गतिर भवान इतोर वाक प्रायसो कालह पुंसां गुण विकर्षणः। अथो दीचिम दिशं जातु स्वैर अज्ञात गतिर भवान इतोर वाक प्रायसो कालह पुंसां गुण विकर्षणः। अथो दीचं दिशं वापु स्वैर अज्ञात गतिर भवान इतोर्वाक् प्रायशो कालः पुंसां गुण विकर्षणः। अथो दीचिं दिशं जातु স্বৈর অজ্ঞাত গতির ভবান ইতর্বা প্রায়শ কালহ নাম গুণ বিকর্ষণ অথো দিচিং দিশং বাপু স্বৈর অজ্ঞাত গতির ভবান ইতর্বাক প্রায়শ কালহ পুংসাং গুণ বিকর্ষণ অথো দিচিং দিশং যাতু স্বৈর অজ্ঞাত গতির ভবান অতর্বাক প্রায়শ কাল পুংসাং গুণ বিকর্ষণ মাতাজি অথো দিচিং দিশং যাতু স্বৈর অজ্ঞাত গতির ভবান ইতর্বাক প্রায়শ কালহ পুংসাং গুণ বিকর্ষণ অথো দিচিং দিশং যাতু স্বৈর অজ্ঞাত গতির ভবান ইতর্বাক প্রায়শ কালহ পুংসাং গুণ বিকর্ষণ অথ দেয়ারফর উদিচিম নর্দার্ন সাইড দিশম ডাইরেকশন যাতু প্লিজ গো অওয়ে স্বৈ বাই ইয়োর রিলেটিভস অজ্ঞাত উইদাউট নলেজ গতিহি মুভমেন্ট ভবান অফ ইয়োর সেলফ ইতহ আফটার দিস অর্বাক উইল আশার ইন প্রায়শ জেনারেলি কালহ টাইম পুংসাম অফ মেন গুণা কোয়ালিটিজ বিকর্ষণ ডিমিনিশিং ট্রান্সলেশন বাই হিজ ডিভাইন গ্রেস শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ প্লিজ দেয়ারফর লিভ ফর দ্য নর্থ ইমিডিয়েটলি উইদাউট লেটিং ইউর রিলেটিভস নো ফর সুন দ্যাট টাইম উইল অ্যাপ্রোচ উইচ উইল ডিমিনিশ দ্য গুড কোয়ালিটিজ অফ মেন প্লিজ রিপিট আফটার মি Please, therefore, leave for the north immediately without letting your relatives know. For soon that time will approach which will diminish the good qualities of men. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One can compensate for a life of frustration by becoming a dhira or living home for good without communicating with relatives. And Vidura advised his elder brother to adopt this way without delay because very quickly the age of Kali was approaching. A conditioned soul is already degraded by the material association and still in the Kali Yuga, the good qualities of a man will deteriorate to the lowest standard. He was advised to leave home before Kali Yuga approached because the atmosphere which was created by Vidura, his valuable instructions on the facts of life would fade away due to the influence of the age which was fast approaching. To become Narottama or a first-class human being depending completely on the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is not possible for any ordinary man. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that a person who is completely relieved of all taints of sinful acts can alone depend on the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra was advised by Vidura at least to become a dhira in the beginning, if it were possible for him to become a sannyasi or a narottam, persistently endeavoring on the line of self-realization helps a person to rise to the conditions of a narottama form of stage of a dhira. A dhira stage is attained after prolonged practice of the yoga system. But by the grace of Vidura, one can attain the stage immediately simply by willing to adapt the means of dhira stage, which is the preparatory stage for sannyas. The sannyas stage is the preparatory stage of Paramahamsa, or the first great devotee of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Atho Dichim Disham Jatu, Swair Agyata Gatir Bhavan, Itar Vak Prayasha Kalaha, Pungsham Guna Vikarshanaha. Please, therefore, leave for the north immediately, without letting your relatives know, for soon that time will approach which will diminish the good qualities of men. So, Vidura came back after a long pilgrimage. He left home being insulted by Duryodhan. Vidura was very outspoken, and especially towards his elder brother, Dhritarashtra. In a way, Vidura was his secretary and advisor, friend, minister. And unfortunately, oftentimes he did not accept Vidura's good advice. When Duryodhana was born, at that time Vidura could see that this individual is going to be the cause of the destruction of the family. And even at that time, Vidura... Okay. Is it all right now? Even at that time, Vidura... told him, just when Duryodhana is born, get rid of this child. But Dhritarashtra could not take his advice. And we saw how in due course of time the whole Kuru dynasty was destroyed. Dhritarashtra had 100 sons, and all 100 sons were killed by Bhima. Bhima actually took a vow when Duryodhan and his brother Dushasan insulted Draupadi in the assembly, trying to strip her naked in front of everyone. Then Bhima actually took that vow. That two terrible vows that he took was Duryodhan lifted his cloth and showed his thighs, indicating Dushasan that stripped Draupadi. So, therefore, Bhima actually took a vow at that time that the thigh that he displayed at that time to indicating Dushasan to get into that abominable act, he's kill him by breaking his thigh.
And he took another terrible vow, a Dushasana, a real terrible vow. He said that he would drink his blood when he kills him. And he did that. And not only Duryodhana and Dushasana, all 100 sons were killed by Bhima alone. And he lost, Dhritarashtra lost all his 100 sons and all the grandsons, his friends and everyone, relatives. It's all because of Duryodhana. And Duryodhana's envy. Duryodhana actually is a personification of Kali. He's a incarnation of Kali. Kali has been described as the son of envy and anger. And we can see that Duryodhana was so envious. Pandavas were endowed with all good qualities, and as a result of that, everyone appreciated them. And Duryodhana, because of his crooked nature from his childhood, everyone was disgusted with him. So that caused him the envy. Why the Pandavas are admired by everyone and no one sees my good qualities? So, envy and anger. We saw the last time that Vidura gave the advice to Dhritarashtra before leaving home. It was just before the battle of Kurukshetra. Everyone was trying to stop that battle because he could see that this is going to be a terrible destruction. And it's a fratricidal war. In the same family, two lions are fighting with each other, and all the kings of this world have sided with either of them. So this was a real world war. The entire world was involved. And all the kings from different parts of the world came, sided either with Duryodhana's side or with the Pandava side. Duryodhana's side was much more powerful. So, and Duryodhana was confident that he was going to win the war. Therefore, he was adamant that he's not going to give them the king. What to speak of the kingdom back? He declared that he wouldn't give them the size of the land, the size of the tip of a needle, without a war. Because he was so confident that he was going to win the war. Because from the material point of view, his side was practically invincible. Not only the numerically they were powerful, power-wise they were powerful, but they were kind of manned by the sides. In his sides he had Bhishma, who was practically immortal, Ashwatthama, who was practically immortal, Dronacharya, also another person who was practically immortal, Karna, the greatest bowman of all time. And so he was fully confident. And the Pandavas, they're in exile for 12 years and 1 year incognito. So what strength did they have? Excepting some of their relatives, close relatives and friends joined with them. Otherwise, everyone was siding with Duryodhana. And everyone tried to stop the war, giving him good advice, but Duryodhana was adamant. Then eventually Vidura, out of total desperation, he actually told Dhritarashtra, still you have time, get rid of this son of yours, disown him, send him in exile. Still, Dhritarashtra wouldn't listen. Prabhupada mentioned Dhritarashtra was not only blind by his eyes, Dhritarashtra was spiritually blind as well. That's why he couldn't take any good advice. And at that time, Duryodhana, who was also present there, started to insult Vidura, calling him all kinds of names. And the most insulting was that he was calling him a servant. A maidservant's son is meant to be a servant. And now that servant is giving advice to the king. And in this way, just very, very harshly, he insulted Vidura. Vidura left home. When the battle of Kurukshetra took place, two persons were away. One was Vidura, the other was Balaram. Balaram also didn't want to side in this battle. And so Vidura traveled. I'm sure you all have gone through that section, traveled through various places of pilgrimage. That in this battle everyone practically died. All the Kuru dynasty was destroyed. Only five surviving members are the five Pandavas and Parikshit Maharaj, who was in the womb of Uttara at that time. And he also got to know that Krishna also left the planet. And Uddhav told him that Krishna gave him some, before departing, Krishna gave him some advice. And Vidura wanted to hear from him what Krishna told. But Uddhav didn't want to advise because he didn't want to transgress the etiquette, because he was junior, and as a junior, he couldn't instruct his senior, Vidura. So he advised that Vidura that he should meet Maitreya Rishi, whom also Krishna advised. So Maitreya Rishi, Vidura met Maitreya and received some valuable, very valuable instructions from him. And then he came back to Hastinapur. The purpose of his coming back was not only to meet his relatives and friends, but the purpose of his returning was to rescue Dhritarashtra. He was his real well-wisher that now Dhritarashtra, although he lost all his sons and grandsons and his nephews, whom he always considered to be his enemy, practically. A big hurdle on achieving his goal. Now he is being maintained by them. So Vidura came and he pointed out the instructions to Dhritarashtra was very, very valuable. And this is one of the last things he suggested, that leave home. Why are you so attached? You have seen, you lost everything, but still you are not learning your lesson. Dhritarashtra, you are so much trying to hold on to the kingdom that you did not possess. In so many ways you tried to rule over the kingdom. You couldn't do it. You thought that through your sons you will do that. still that also didn't happen. When that didn't happen, your sons couldn't actually gain the kingdom. Then you took all kinds of dubious means to, all kinds of unscrupulous means to get the kingdom. You tried to kill your own nephews, the children of your departed brother, and his wife, burning them alive. A house of shellac was made in a very beautiful place called Varanavat, and their Pandavas were advised that go and have a vacation there. And a beautiful palace was built, but the palace was actually built with shellac. You can say it was a fiberglass house. I mean, even those days they had the art of fiberglass. Like, fiberglass is actually resin house, shellac. The structure is actually given with fiberglass, kind of glass fiber, but it's covered with shellac, resin. And resin is inflammable. Although apparently it was a very beautiful palace, but in no time the thing could get burnt to ashes. Duryodhan made that plan. And Dhritarashtra sanctioned it. In so many ways, they, in front of Dhritarashtra, in a deceptive game of dice, their whole kingdom was taken away, including everything, including even their wife, Draupadi. It all happened right in front of Dhritarashtra and with his approval. Dhritarashtra never tried to stop his son. And now he is living in the house of those five nephews who he always tried to get rid of. And so at the final moment, Vidura is telling, get rid of, like, what's the point in maintaining this attachment? Through this, we actually learn a lesson. The purpose of these presentation of these anecdotes, or not anecdotes, incidents, so that we learn our lesson. Actually, we all have this tendency to hold on to the material nature, try to exploit it to the best of our ability by hook or by crook. But no matter how much we try, we never really achieve what we want to get. That's the material nature. Everyone is trying to enjoy, but no one enjoys. On the other hand, the more one tries to enjoy, the more one ends up suffering. That's the reality of this material nature. Therefore, a person who is situated in knowledge, he gives up the tendency, recognizing the actual feature of this material nature. And when one gives up this attachment to the material nature, then he becomes dhira. Dhirastatra namuihati. Dhira, composed, peaceful, perfectly composed, unperturbed by the affairs of the material nature. And Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that dhira is a stage before sannyas. Sannyas means becoming totally free from material attachments. But in order to become totally free from material attachments, one has to become unperturbed by the allurements of the material nature. In this material nature, everyone is perturbed by the allurements of the material nature. Material nature is inviting, come, enjoy with me. Brihad Bhagavatamritam is describing that when a living entity, Gop Kumar, is about to leave the material nature,
Maya personified, Maya herself, in her most beautiful form, invites the living entity. Where are you going? Come, stay with me, enjoy with me. So that's how difficult it's going to be to overcome the allurements of material nature. Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya durattaya. Krishna himself is saying it's impossible to overcome, insurmountable. But mameva je prapadyante maya metang tarantite. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, when one prapadyante, when one surrenders himself unto Krishna, when one takes the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, then one can very easily overcome this allurement of Maya. And that's what we are seeing in Brihad Bhagavatamritam by Sanatana Goswami. When Gop Kumar is leaving, then Maya is alluring. She herself is alluring. Stay, enjoy with me. But Gop Kumar's response is, please bless me that I can become engaged in serving your brother. Maya, in a way, is Krishna's sister. Krishna's personification of Krishna's energy, who appeared as Krishna's sister. So please allow me to become engaged in your brother's service. So that should be the attitude of a devotee. Please allow me, please bless me that I can become engaged in the service of Krishna. Then Maya becomes, Maya transforms her feature. Instead of alluring, she enables him to become engaged. Mahamaya becomes Jogamaya. In this respect, Prabhupada is giving the example of a policeman. A policeman to a criminal is a is an object of fear. Because a policeman arrests criminals, punishes them. But when one leads a proper life, abiding by the instructions or abiding by the law of the king, then the same policeman escorts him to meet the king. It's the same policeman. To the criminal, he has one feature. To a law-abiding citizen, he has another feature. To a criminal, he is an object of fear, who punishes him. And to a law-abiding person, he is a source of safety. When the policeman is around, everyone feels safer. And not only that, this policeman, when time comes to us, meet the king, is a policeman that escorts him to the king. So Maya takes a different feature to a devotee. She becomes Jogamaya. So Vidura is advising Dhritarashtra, leave home, go to a solitary place, go towards north. Go towards north means go towards Himalayas. Because when one wants to free himself, then one tends to go to the Himalayas because of the solitude, because of isolation, because of severe cold and scarcity of anything. The Pandavas, when Yudhishthira Maharaj decided to leave home, he started to work towards north. And the other brothers, along with Draupadi, followed. Mahaprasthan, great departure from this world. Kept on walking, 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 without rest, without food. just kept on walking until the body fell. And Prabhupada also mentioned in another purport that for a saintly person, Himalaya is a beautiful place of pilgrimage, because there are so many holy places where so many saintly personalities reside. Like we see that many of the people, many of the saintly kings, when they retired, like Pandu, went to Himalayas, Badri Kashram. When Dhruva Maharaj retired, he also went to the Himalayas, Badri Kashram. In that place, it's a place of pilgrimage. The Lord resides there as Naranarayan, and they get the association. And although apparently it's very cold, it's practically way above the glacier level. It's ice there all the time. But still they prefer to stay there. So this is how we get to hear through these incidents how we should mold our lives. The first thing we learn is not to be affected by this allurement of the material nature, and surrender unto Krishna. When one wants to lead a proper life that comes with this opportunity that is awarded in the human form, one learns to surrender unto Krishna. And when one surrenders unto Krishna, then he utilizes, instead of exploiting the material nature, he utilizes all the facilities of the material nature in serving Krishna. That is a Vaishnav way. There are two ways. One is a way of rejection. The other is a way of application. The yogis, the impersonalists, they take to the course of rejection. Give up. But a devotee, he doesn't give up. He applies, engages in service of Krishna. In that respect, Rupa Goswami gave these two courses in a very beautiful way. One is Prapanchikataya Buddha Hari Sambandhi Varsunaha Mumukshubhi Parityago Vairagyam Phalgu Kathate. Mumukshubhi, desiring to achieve liberation. Desiring to achieve liberation, when one rejects the articles or things that could have been engaged in Krishna's service, Hari Sambandhi Vastuna, the things that could have been engaged in serving Krishna, in order to become liberated, if one thinks that these are material and rejects them, that renunciation is false renunciation. Vairagyam phalgu kathate. So the impersonalists, the way they reject things is not really renunciation. It's a false renunciation. It doesn't work. But there is another way, yukta vairagya. Renunciation, being attached, being engaged. And that is the Vaishnava way. Anasaktasya vishayan. To begin with, no attachment. Anashakta. Vishaya, the objects of the senses. developing this mood of detachment or moon, not being attached to the objects of senses. Anashakta shabishayan jatharham upajunjati accepts whatever is possible, whatever can be engaged in the service of Krishna. Jatharam upajunjate. How nirbandha, in one hand, no attachment to them, but in relationship to Krishna. Nirbandha, in from his side, nirbandha, no attachment. But in relation to Krishna, Krishna sambandhi. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhi. Yukta vairagya muchyate. That is called yukta vairagya. Therefore, people cannot really recognize the Vaishnavas. They think, oh, these people are living in big, big buildings, riding cars, big cars, engaging, using all kinds of fancy stuff. What kind of sadhus they are. But they don't realize that these devotees are engaging everything in the service of Krishna. Sometimes people challenge Srila Prabhupada that why are you doing this, why are you doing that? Like engaging in all kinds of fancy arrangements. And Prabhupada pointed out that it is in relation to Krishna. Therefore, whatever we are doing is not enough. Once some reporter complained that why are you riding in a fancy car? I think it was a Rolls Royce. Why are you riding in a fancy car? Then Prabhupada mentioned that even this Rolls Royce is not good enough. If my disciples could have arranged it, they could have got me a golden chariot, golden car. Because devotees are offering it to Prabhupada so that as their offering in appreciation, and Prabhupada is engaging everything not for his sense gratification but in serving Krishna. And the wonderful result we can see, a miraculous achievement. In 10 years time, Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. Who could ever do that? But Prabhupada could do that because he was doing everything for Krishna and Krishna used him to fulfill his mission. Krishna's mission is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And when a sincere devotee tries to fulfill that desire of Krishna, then Krishna gives all the support. This movement is meant to spread all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that in every town and village. And at least we can see that the initial part of the prediction has been fulfilled all over the world. Has been fulfilled. How was it achieved? Simply by Srila Prabhupada's purity. Here purity means Prabhupada's dedication. Whatever Prabhupada did was for Krishna's sake, for Krishna's service. And we can see Krishna used him. He was the real chosen one to fulfill the prediction. And then those who are following Srila Prabhupada, through them this mission will be achieved. This movement is bound to spread all over the world. There cannot be any doubt at all.
It will spread. It will, it's just a matter of time. And on our part, let us try to become loyal followers of Srila Prabhupada in order to fulfill his mission without a mood of total detachment. Idam Krishnaya na mama. Everything that we are doing is for Krishna, not for me. With that mood, let's try to serve, and in due course of time, the prediction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the impossible prediction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made, is going to happen, going to become true, going to become a reality. Prithivite ache jato nagoradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mornam. Mornam means the holy name. Everywhere this Krishna consciousness movement will spread. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any comment, question? Maharaj?
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a very wonderful, insightful, and illuminating and enlightening class, especially on your various aspects of what happens to a person when he gets very old, and because he is attached to the comforts and conveniences and enjoyments, he wants to stay with those things simply because it conforms to his original reason for coming into this world, namely to be a lord. And a lord means three things: to be an enjoyer, to be a proprietor, and to be a friend of all. So that's what he wanted to hold on to. So you had mentioned in that course of that, and very nicely, that Maya Devi generally, as she goes after the demons and just complicates their lives so horribly that they don't know the forest for the trees, and all they do is make things worse, because that is her job, is to make them suffer so that they will finally ask, what is the purpose? You know, they have to come to that point. But you also mentioned that Maya, of course, is that we're talking about Maya Devi, but there's also Yoga Maya. And you mentioned that Yoga Maya actually treats the devotees differently, because they are in conformity with Lord Krishna's plans, his missions, his goals. But sometimes even Yoga Maya can get on the case of the devotees, when the devotees actually begin to think, well, we are under the protection, you know, of Krishna, and then there's Yoga Maya. Basically, she's assisting Krishna, and by assisting Krishna, she assists us. So she will do no harm, no wrong, no bad to us. We are fully protected. So this can lead to a false confidence in the case of devotees. False confidence means they become very proud. You become proud, you think, well, I'm superior. I have Krishna's great devotee, Yoga Maya, backing me up, so I can pretty much do what I like. And so what happens is that the person feels proud, he feels great, he feels glorious, he feels wonderful, he has some position, he gets some money, he gets some glorification, he gets some adoration, some profit, distinction, all of this he's getting, and therefore he's thinking he's superior to all of these karmis out there. And this sense of superiority is not something that Krishna likes. He wants his devotees to always be in... He'll give them plenty of royalty, but only in the understanding that you are simply a low servant of mine, and you can use it in my service, but never think that you are the owner of it. I'm the one who owns it, I gave it to you, as you mentioned, use it in my service and never think that it's yours and that because you have some control over it, you have some proprietorship, power, it's none of, it's all mine, Krishna says. So once you have this mentality, then you can have every, like Srila Prabhupada is the perfect example. You've mentioned this so nicely, that he had everything. He had Rolls Royce cars, but it was never his in his mind. And he never thought of himself as deserving of this. Who deserved this with this book? He's an ambassador of Krishna. So Krishna deserves golden, even diamond car. Nothing is too less, too little for Krishna. So, and I'm simply just like a president. He has his ambassador. He goes to a country. He has a beautiful, you know, long, what do they call those
limousines?
Limousines, yeah, and everybody with the flags, you know, on the sides, and this motorcycle. So, who is this? Point is this: is that why not? But people do not understand this idea, yeah, that this is a true representative, not simply a person who is coming here to show off and to become glorified and to be honored and to feel superior and like that. So that's all I wanted to say, with that we should be, even though we are devotees, we should be very careful about this point of any adoration we receive, profit, distinction, glorification, applause, any of this belongs to Krishna. And if we keep this in mind, we'll be on a safe ground. If we forget it, the ground will become like quicksand.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Actually, that reminds me, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his Madhurya Kadambini, he's actually saying that when one becomes engaged in serving Krishna, then he gets all kinds of facilities or, you know, like material, I mean, objects and things come to him, adoration come to him, appreciation comes to him. And that stage is called Tarangarangini, riding in the waves of success. And he's saying that that's also an anartha. And you very nicely pointed out, yes, that will come. To a devotee, recognition and adorations and appreciations will come, but he should never consider it to be his, but his, the service of his master, that he is getting all those facilities. Thank you so much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Oh yeah, okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's the famous verse, Krishna says, you know, the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. But in Rupa Goswami's description of the, you know, the process of devotional service, that the stage at which you receive a taste, ruchi, is preceded by nishta and anartha nivritti. So my question is this, that I think sometimes maybe, and well, actually, this is a legitimate question, so I'm not sure of the answer. I've always thought that, okay, that with that first verse I quoted is saying is that the way you get rid of those, become free from those material desires, is by having a higher taste. But then when I thought about this now, I'm thinking, well, wait a second, you don't get the higher taste until you get to ruchi. In other words, it seems like you have to struggle through anartha nivritti and nishta, and then that ruchi is like a reward, and then when you get to ruchi, then, yeah, once and for all, you're done with those material desires. Because, like, for instance, here in the third chapter, Prabhupada says about, here it is, he says, according to scriptural injunctions, one is forbidden to engage in sex relationships with any woman other than one's wife. All other women are to be considered as one's mother. But in spite of such injunctions, a man is still inclined to have sex relationships with other women. These propensities are to be curbed. Doesn't say anything about a higher taste. He just says these propensities are to be curbed. Otherwise, there will be stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So my understanding, tentative understanding at this point, is that until you get to ruchi, you just have to battle it out. There's no higher taste and no higher taste. You just have to, it's determination and like that.
Yeah, true. Like, you know, ruchi itself means taste. So once you get the taste of Krishna consciousness, and in that respect, an example that is given is that a child doesn't want to eat. The mother has to force the child to eat. But when the child gets the taste of the food, then he goes out on his own and even sometimes steals and eats it. So ultimately everything is depending upon the higher taste. But again, as you said, that the higher taste will come after proper nishtha, sincerity, commitment to Krishna consciousness. And that will come after the anarthas are gone. Anarthas means actually material attachments, tendency to enjoy the material nature in a gross way or subtle way is anartha. So unless and until you are free from this tendency to exploit the material nature, you know, so we won't be able to become fixed up.
A period of determined struggle is legit.
The struggle, yeah, right. That endeavor must be there. Like sadhana, then comes perfection. Practice will lead to perfection. And the practicing stage is actually difficult stage. But the perfect stage is the perfect stage. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
I'm afraid Brigapati Prabhu is making this sound very discouraging. The point is, struggle by itself doesn't get you anywhere. Just like if you're sick, you can struggle all you want. If you don't take the medicine, you're not going to get better. So the taste is the medicine. That same medicine that in the beginning tastes bitter, if you keep taking it every day, it starts to taste sweet. And that sweetness gradually increases. Yeah, you're still struggling to a certain extent. You know philosophically what you should do, what you shouldn't do, but it's a struggle because it seems to be against your nature. Your nature is to enjoy. But if you keep taking the medicine, then that medicine itself takes over and it tastes so sweet. You can't stop chanting.
Yeah,
you can't stop following these principles. Just most of us don't struggle against meat eating because intellectually we know it's really bad and we get a taste of prasadam, so that desire for meat goes away. So all these other desires will also go away if we keep taking that Hare Krishna medicine every day. He's making it sound like it's such a struggle. Just grit my teeth till I get to ruchi. But you don't get to ruchi if you don't take the medicine. It's the medicine that gets you to ruchi, not your endeavor. If you take that medicine of chanting Hare Krishna every day, associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, all of the medicinal recommendations, that's what gets you to ruchi, not just your struggle and your determination.
Thank you. Any other? Yes. Yeah, sure.
This point that's being made, we should again not think that because I have higher taste that I've got everything cinched. I've got everything controlled. There cannot be any fall down because I'm so much ecstatic. Therefore, I'm in a stage that is undefeatable. Or so if I'm thinking I'm in that stage and I'm enjoying and I start to think, well, I have this taste, I have this bliss, I have this happiness, I'm ready to fly. And look at all these poor souls all around here. They're still suffering. This comparison, you see, in which one feels that he is in a higher position, they're in a lower position. Too bad they're in that stage. I'll try to help. What I'm trying to bring out is this idea of even while one may be getting this blissful situation, he may have this pride, this overconfidence, this feeling that he's superior to others. These things can always come in. Prabhupada said you can fall at any time. We have Bharat Maharaj who fell in love with a little fawn, a little deer, even though he was in the next to the last stage. He was in the bhava stage, which is a very high stage of ecstasy. Nonetheless, he got trapped by the attachment to a very lovable deer. So what I'm saying is we should not be overconfident in any particular.
Well, Good point. But my response to that will be, you know, when you are experiencing this higher taste, then there is no consideration or there is no awareness of this material side of it, that I am superior. These are all pride that comes from false ego. When that thing is, the higher taste is experienced, then that kind of feelings are not there anymore. Like you are so absorbed in that, there is no room for thinking that, oh, I am experiencing it and others are not. They are in an inferior position, I am in a superior position. That feeling will be there as long as one is in the material platform, dwelling in the platform of false ego. Like in that intense loving relationship, that feeling is not there. It's just you and the object of your love. So, and that stage leads to abadhut.
What?
Abadhut stage. I didn't actually get into that. Prabhupada did mention that. Sannyas leads to Paramahamsa. You know, sannyas stage will lead to Paramahamsa. Or that Paramahamsa stage, when one is really experiencing the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, then he doesn't have any external consciousness. Like he doesn't know where he is, he doesn't know whether he's wearing any clothes, who is surrounding him. Like, for example, Rishabhdev, Sukadev Goswami, didn't have any external consciousness. And, you know, like, they're moving around stark naked. That's because he doesn't have any external consciousness. So that would be, you know, that I wanted to add to that, you know, like,
thank you very much.
That in that stage that I am superior, they're inferior, that is not there. But, you know, that's why a person who is in Uttamadhikar platform has to come down to the Madhyamadhikar platform to relate to the material nature.
Yeah, that's
like.
But when he comes down, that's where the problem
is. Yeah, that time he's coming from such an exalted stage that he is kind of, you know, feeling that intense compassion that here I have something that everybody needs, and because they don't have it, they're in that miserable condition. So let me give and give and give. That's like personalities like Srila Prabhupada who comes down from Uttamadhikar platform to the Madhyamadhikar platform to distribute the mercy. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
She had a question. Yeah.
Hare Bol Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Along with the chanting and the purificatory activities, it talks about pulling the weeds. Like we develop, like Maharaj was saying, a pride in our service or who we are or whatever. So along with the activities that are purifying us and raising us to a higher platform, don't we have to also intentionally pull the anarthas, pull the weeds of anarthas out of our hearts? Also, we're part of that process also?
Yes, that's the anartha nibritti stage. Getting rid of the undesirable, you know, tendencies of exploit or enjoy, trying to enjoy the material nature.
But not just that by chanting they'll go away. We also have to consciously endeavor to...
Yeah, like as Archita Prabhu pointed out, taking the medicine. You take the medicine properly, you'll get cured. And this Hare Krishna chanting and associating with devotees, all these, studying scriptures, all these are actually the medicine that we are taking. Yeah. And yes, if we take the medicine properly, we'll get cured of the disease that we are suffering from. And the disease is false ego. And as long as we have it, we are in trouble.
So I guess what...
And we have seen, like, you know, what Maharaj pointed out, actually. That's actually a very dangerous situation, to become proud of our, you know, Krishna conscious achievement. like, you know, we should not think that, you know, we are becoming exalted by being Krishna conscious. Rather, we recognize that it's due to Krishna's mercy that we are getting this. And now let me always maintain a humble position. And that's the key word. Trinadopi Sunichena. While you're practicing Krishna consciousness, that is the most important cultivation. Being tolerant and humble.
And being careful not to commit offenses.
Oh yeah, sure.
Even if we think about, oh, I should say that to that person, you intentionally don't. You hold yourself back until you get to the point where you don't even think about committing those kind of offenses. That's what I mean by pulling the weeds yourself. Right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.